What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. I've got a fantastic guest joining us just in a few minutes. But before I do that, as if there's not enough trouble and strife going on in the world today, the UN have just announced today, let me read this out to you. The Earth's climate is further out of balance than at any time in recorded history. And that's from the UN. It's actually their weather agency. The World Meteorological Organization says that our planet is gaining much more heat energy than it can release, driven by emissions of warming gases such as carbon dioxide, which we all know about. This record energy imbalance heated the ocean to new heights last year and continued to melt our planet's ice caps. And scientists fear that a natural warming phase called El Niño, expected to begin later this year, could soon bring further heat records. Now, in response to the report, the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, he reiterated his call for countries to move away from fossil fuels to renewable energy to deliver climate security, energy security, and of course, national security, particularly with everything that's going on in the world today. So he also said planet Earth is being pushed beyond its limits. Every key climate indicator is flashing red, he warned in a typically punchy video that's out there. If you do want to go and have a look, I actually nicked this from the BBC. Normally, as you know, we cover news that's featured on My Green Pod. If you do want to have a little think about how you can become, I guess, a solution, or certainly not have a negative impact or be a serious problem to this issue that is a climate crisis, you can go to mygreenpod.com. You can have a look. There's plenty of positive news stories there. You can search any area of interest that you're interested in, of course. And there are thousands and thousands. In fact, I think nearly 50,000 news articles on there that you can go and look at. So don't hesitate to get more clued up, and you can become part of the solution, which I think would be a really wonderful thing to do. So look, let me move on to today's guest. It's equally not a great story today, but we are joined by somebody fantastic. Let me just tell you a little bit about what we're talking about today. So we're talking about something happening actually just 200 miles north of Scotland. So this is very close to us. Over 1,000 dolphins and whales were killed last year in the Faroe Islands, which we don't hear much about the Faroe Islands, a growing movement backed by nearly 60 MPs. And voices like Chris Packham, who certainly has a big voice out there championing for nature, is calling for change. And joining me today is someone right at the centre of that movement, Valentina Kresk. She's a campaign director for the Faroe Islands at Sea Shepherd, leading international efforts to stop whale and dolphin hunting. Valentina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. What an introduction.
Thank you for joining us. Before we get into the big issue around these thousands of killings, let's just talk a little bit about Sea Shepherd, because you know you're the campaign director. You must be very busy, to say the least. But just tell us about Sea Shepherd and what that organization does and why.
Well, Sea Shepherd is a marine conservation organization that operates globally. I think historically we are known for our direct action campaigns mostly in the Southern Ocean against Japanese illegal whaling. I think we definitely, it's fair to say that that's where we got our reputation from in the last many decades. Now that Japanese whaling was retired, the work to protect the ocean obviously continues because there are plenty of threats out there that are making life in the ocean very challenging, especially going forth in this future. In respect with what you just mentioned with the UN, what a brutal future we're looking into. So Sea Shepherd's work is to protect the marine environment. And the primary driver of what we do right now is combating illegal fishing. And we do that in all over the world, especially in West Africa. We save marine life from illegal traps, octopus traps. And we still do anti-whaling work, especially in the Faroe Islands, where I run the campaign. And yeah, so we are committed. We are primarily driven by the public and amazing activists that come from all walks of life, all ages, all parts of society that find their passion in protecting the environment and protecting animals. So we have ships all over the world protecting the marine environment, and we have people on the ground doing on the ground work in the Faroe Islands, for instance. So that's what we do. We
Great,
protect.
great. That's fantastic. Yeah, I think we've got the image now. So there were these ships in the oceans, in particular areas that you're drawn to go and help. And the ships go out and I guess challenge the destructive fishing that's happening in these areas. So it's a real coordinated operation, presumably that's very, very hands-on. Thank you for doing that. It's amazing.
No, I almost said it's our pleasure, but it's really our duty. It's
Yeah, yeah.
everyone's duty, right? So international law is actually already in line with protecting these animals, but in practical terms, we don't really get to we don't see the authorities actually following through. So there is a need for people to become active, to become activists, and that's Sea Shepherd's role in the big scheme of things.
Right. Well, let's get into that. And Valentina, I mean, let's not soften this because I do think it's something that we really need to highlight. But when people hear dolphin hunting, it can actually sound quite distant, almost abstract, right? So what is the reality what actually happens in those waters? What just give us a as bloody as you like scenario.
I don't want your listeners to tune out, but I am going to be blunt because it's super important that we keep the facts on the table so we don't exactly softening things and undermine the seriousness of it. So what happens is these animals, especially pilot whales and white-sided dolphins, they will migrate to Faroese waters around from May to October. They go there to feed, to have their babies in during this time of the year. And what happens is there is a Faroese culture, historical tradition with spotting these whales out in the fjords or out to sea. And then there's a call for those whalers to jump on a boat, surround these animals and drive them in forcefully with by disturbing the sonars of the dolphins, driving them into shallow waters and beaching them, and then severing their spinal cord with a lance
Oh
that
my
they put
goodness.
through their necks. And when they're paralyzed, what happens is they take a knife and they cut open their necks so they can bleed out. And the process is very prolonged. It's full of suffering. Sometimes it's could be 400 whales, could be 300 whales. So I'm sure your listeners can imagine that this is not a swift process. The drive itself can take hours. The kill itself can take up to half an hour. And while every dolphin is waiting, beached, waiting for their turn to have their necks cut open to bleed. They are witnessing their entire family go through this. And I mean, I think you started out the program saying that you really care for dolphins. And that's actually a sentiment that you share with millions of people.
Yeah.
For some reason, dolphins have a special place in our hearts. And for that specific reason, most people are horrified by hearing that this practice continues today, especially when it's not needed for sustenance and it's extremely unhealthy and it really destroys the marine environment.
I mean, it's hard to listen to. It really is for me. I did just for everybody that's listening. The reason I said I have a personal connection with dolphins, I was very, very, very lucky in my mid-20s to go to Hawaii, when at the time there wasn't a law where you weren't allowed to swim with free dolphins. And I went out with this extraordinary woman called Joan Ocean. That was really her name, Joan Ocean. And she was a kind of dolphin whisperer. And I actually went out into the sea 4 or 5 times and actually got in the water and was surrounded by pods of dolphins. And the music and the energy and the feeling that I got from that experience was absolute. I mean, it was life changing, actually, genuinely life changing. And then I got to do it with pilot whales. So the reason why this is so personal to me, because I know what the impact of those animals had on me. And it's not just dolphins, there's animals all around the world that impact us all the time. So this is horrific. Can I ask you, I mean, it might be a really silly question, but why is it happening? And why do the entire pods get targeted? I mean, what's the, I know you said there's some kind of, you know, historical, I presume, you know, I don't know, will you tell us? I have no clue. I don't want to make an assumption.
You know what? I get asked all the time, why is it happening? And the rational answer is it shouldn't be happening. Like, there is no rational reason to do this. But historically, this sort of hunting kept the citizens of the Faroe Islands alive. They come from a very remote area in the North Atlantic where fishing and whaling was part of their survival. There is no doubt that that's how it is. This hunting practice goes back hundreds of years, many hundreds of years.
So it's for food or for commercial? To sell? For food.
They would describe it as a communal activity. So even, and we will get into the commercial side of things because there's definitely a commercial side. But if you read the description on the Faroe Islands the government's website, they will say this is a communal activity. It provides free food for people. So how can you argue with that? It lives up to animal welfare laws. It goes really swift and people have a course in how to kill whales. But, you know, behind that very sterile description of what goes on is an immense amount of animal cruelty. And the food has been labeled unfit for human consumptions for decades because it's full of mercury and other pollutants. So even the Faroese government themselves would not recommend anyone to eat it. But it continues to be an activity that a very loud minority of the public insist on carrying out. So the whaling community in itself is growing or is becoming more and more a minority in the Faroese society. Mm-hmm. But there is a respect and willingness to protect the right to continue, even though less than half the population eat this because they do recognize it's toxic. But there is so much tradition and culture and history and emotion tied into this practice that it's not a rationale that drives it to continue. It's more of an emotional tie to historical reasons. If that makes sense.
It does. Thank you for explaining that. I mean, I'd love to ask you, you know, on a very personal level, just taking your, you know, your director hat off for a minute. Now, what brought you into this, you know, way of working in the world. What's your kind of story, and why Sea Shepherd, and why particularly this
Yeah.
campaign?
Well, Sea Shepherd changed my life about 15 years ago. And I think I can relate to your story about dolphins being magical and having a special place in your heart, because they had a special place in my heart as well. And many years ago at this point, my gosh, I almost dread to think that it's so long at this time, I saw a documentary on TV. I was a regular person. I was a trained nurse. I'm Danish, so I worked in Denmark, and I saw this documentary about mass killings of dolphins in Japan. And it just shocked me to my core. And something inside of me said, all right, so if we want to change the world, we need to invest ourselves. Like, how can I be sitting on this couch and be horrified and then continue my life tomorrow as if I hadn't learned something new? So I volunteered. I volunteered to travel to Japan to oppose the killing of dolphins in Japan. And when I was in Japan, someone asked me if I had traveled across the globe to speak for dolphins in Japan when there was mass killings of dolphins in my own backyard. Denmark is part, or the Faroe Islands are part of the Danish kingdom, right? And I didn't know. I didn't know that that was happening. And that just kickstarted something in me. I knew that this was in my backyard, and I felt compelled to get involved.
Fantastic. I could feel that. That's why I asked the question. Normally I would do that at the beginning, but I just had this connection when I was talking about my dolphins. I felt your kind of heart open up. So thank you for that. I think this might be a good moment to just very quickly nip to a commercial break. And then what we'll do is we'll come back into why this matters, kind of beyond the headlines a bit, but let's get under the skin of it properly. Don't go away. We'll be back with Valentina very shortly. This is a really heart-pressing subject, and I'm sorry about this on a Monday, but we are going to get to some solutions and ways that you can get involved. So stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I'm here with Valentina Kress. We're talking about this rather horrible situation of thousands of dolphins being killed as part of a tradition up in the Faroe Islands, which is just north of Scotland. Valentina, we talked about the tradition, and I've seen a couple of lines going around. I think Chris Packer might have mentioned one of them about tradition. Something about, we might inherit these traditions, but it doesn't mean we have to, I'm paraphrasing here, it doesn't mean we have to continue them. And that's absolutely right. I mean, clearly, if we continue living in the world in the way that we in the state that it was in when we inherited it, we're going to run out of all kinds of resources and put too much of a stamp on the ground. But when it comes to tradition, and you're dealing specifically with the people of these islands, what is their kind of response to it? I know you've said most women, nearly 90% of the women are completely against this tradition, but what are the people that are supporting it? What is their value based on the keeping this tradition alive?
Well, I try to make a point of not mixing up the reasons for abstaining from contributing to this. I believe most of the women in the Faroe Islands are rejecting to eat the meat because it's toxic, because they've had a campaign for years, their health authorities, that this is unfit for human consumption. And if you want to have children, you need to stay away from it because you can damage your unborn child if you ingest this meat. So I think the primary driver of people being ready to leave this behind is mostly for selfish human health reasons.
That's
But
normally the case for every
sure,
decision made. Yeah.
that's our species. And there is a small minority of the human population who is driven by empathy and altruism and ethics for other beings, but that's not usually the primary driver of change in a society. We have to admit that. But when it comes to tradition and culture, culture is just not, or tradition is just not an excuse for abuse. It's just not. And if we look back hundreds of years, we've had plenty of traditions and cultural activities that today we find abhorrent, right? And this is just no different. I think when it comes to the conversation about other nationalities, such as Sea Shepherd, is carried on by activists from many countries. And one of the critiques could be, why are we interfering with another country's culture and traditional choices? And as a Dane, I thought I was allowed to criticize this, but it turns out that it doesn't really matter who you are. There will always be an excuse for why you are not allowed to have an opinion on this when it comes to the whalers' excuses for pushing back on the criticism of this.
Interesting.
But the fact is, Jarvis, the world today is a global community. We travel to learn from each other. We get new cultures from each other. We enrich each other, and we definitely contribute to each other's growth, whether it be socially, culturally, economically. So it's only fair that we also look at each other's behaviors and cultures and ask questions. So I'm not going to the Faroe Islands with a hammer and beating anyone down who has an opinion that differs from me. But I insist on having a conversation whether or not the Faroe Islands in the future and currently can see itself as an ocean nation that destroys the ocean environment and void of need. Like, if this was a sustenance issue, I would not be fighting it. But it's not. The Faroe Islands are one of the richest nations in the world. They have massive imports of food, whether it be vegetables or meat, or anything else. And that's just the facts of the matter. And if you look at their waste issues, they don't live in a sustainable way. So while they resemble other Western countries in the waste of resources and the richness, they continue to still hold on to past traditions that resemble a time where it was necessary to survive. So it's not either or for them, it's both. So, I would argue it's very greedy that you can live in a rich Western globalized society where you benefit from all the connections that are between us and that are beautiful, but you insist on not moving into the future with the rest of the world who is dead set on protecting these animals, right? Just look at the UK. You're spending resources, political energy. People are passionate about protecting their environment. And just 200 miles north, the same animals that you are insisting on getting protection are being herded in and killed for no rational purpose.
Yeah, we're gonna get into the power of what you've created. I mean, 60 MPs are now involved. But before we do that, I always ask my guests to give us a couple of songs that are really soundtracks to
I
your
love
life's
that.
work. And
Yeah.
you've chosen a couple of crackers. We're gonna play your first song. Tell us what the song is and why you've chosen it, please.
All right, so I chose Uprising by Muse because I've done this for 15 years. And it's no secret that once in a while, the pushback can really get you under the floorboards. You get tired. And I put on this song when I need to kick myself up and keep going. So that's why I chose it. I think it's very fitting for for especially the energy around the Faroe Islands campaign, because it is hard to create social and cultural change, but we and I insist that we need to do it. That's why.
Love it. Love it. So this is a Power Yourself Up track, Uprising,
yes,
by Muse. Such a great record. Thank you for choosing that. I'm definitely feeling powered up. Let's talk about power and politics and pressure off the back of that song. So tell us a bit about these 60 MPs. I mean, it's 60 that are now involved. I mean, this is where things get really quite interesting, isn't it?
I was actually surprised, because this was a call to action to the UK citizens, because we constantly get emails from people who say they want to get actively involved. This means so much to them. And we had just recently done this aid campaign in the European Union, where we had asked European citizens to reach out to their MEPs and ask them to get involved in pressuring the Faroese government to discussing this, and asking that labeling of fish would be very clear, so European consumers could judge whether or not, you know, in this sort of activity. And we just had a massive amount of UK citizens who wanted to do the same. And we thought, okay, that's completely fair. You're actually much closer to this issue than many other countries are. And the UK citizens have a way of being extremely passionate. So we were just happy, obviously, to oblige, and we were happy to get so much support. But I think when we initially kicked this off, I had looked at the EDM results, like statistics and what to expect of it. And my expectations weren't high. I'm going to admit that, like breaking news on your show. I did not think that we were going to get 60 plus MPs to say that they want to sign on to the British government, the UK government, to say, let's do something about this. So that's amazing. I think it's 62 right now. And in May, I will be going to the UK to discuss with partners and allies on how we can move forward. But what it's really about is the UK people, the UK citizens, should reach out to their MPs and ask them to get involved. And they should ask for the UK government to insist on labeling of food that comes from Faroe Islands, so people can choose not to support it if that's what they want to do. They should ask of their MPs to support trade pressure, because as I was saying earlier, we are part of a global community, and we may not be in charge of the rules and the laws that are made nationally within a country, but we are certainly in a position where we can choose who we want to play and trade with. And if a country is crossing our boundaries for moral and ethical behavior, we should be in a position to say, that's up to you, but we're not playing, we're not doing that. And I think that's what the UK public is asking MPs to get on board with. And I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I agree. And so just to kind of for me to understand this, and for everybody that's listening to understand it. So, if you're feeling drawn to want to get this to stop, you know, the best thing to do is write a letter to your MP. Presumably, there's a platform, is there, where you can get a copy of that letter? Is that part of the campaign?
Sea Shepherd has made 2 websites where any UK citizen can go in and get help with finding their MPs, and either write their own letter that just lives up to the criteria that you have to if you want to reach out to your MP, or we have letters that you can accept, and then, you know, we'll write it for you. But I certainly appreciate when some individual decides to write on their own, as long as it lives up to the criteria for sending a letter to an MP. So I'm happy to provide those websites for your viewers in some way. I don't know.
I mean, you can just tell us now. So presumably, if people just search for Sea Shepherd and MP list or something like that, it'll come up, right?
Yes. Yeah. Let's see if I can get the right. Well, just go to seashepherd.org and you will be able to find one site And Sea Shepherd Conservation Society as well has one that's focused on the Faroe Islands.
Okay, great. So anybody out there listening that's feeling really drawn to get behind this campaign, that's how you do it. And then so what happens then? The letter goes to the MP. The MP is either on board or not, and then hopefully if they get enough letters, they'll choose to bring this up in Parliament or join the campaign. How what's the process? So what do these 60 MPs or 60 plus MPs do? Do they get together in Parliament and discuss this, or do they get on?
Hopefully we'll get a discussion and hopefully it will have an impact on the government's policy on this. And I think what's important is that this discussion needs to be public. We need to engage our citizens and we need to show the Faroese government that this is on the agenda of other countries, whether it be the European Union or the UK. So right now what we're looking to do is to get as many MPs to insist on having a debate about this. And then we'll figure out what the details are going forward. But I can say that we've already seen a bit of interest from the Faroese government. So they've taken notice. They
Yeah.
are noticing this. And if you want help strengthening that position for your MP and for Sea Shepherd and for the dolphins of the Faroe Islands, then get on board and send them an email. Send your
Yeah.
MP.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, there's an argument, isn't there, that most people think that they can't have an impact. Most people, yeah, we all see so many troubling things going on in the world today. And I know speaking to people, you know, we've been championing the sustainability in the climate space for, you know, coming up to 20 years now. So we, you know, a bit like you, we've been in, you know, fully immersed in pod poking and waking people up, etc., to get them to move. And we have seen a massive shift, you know, just in the sustainability space or the climate space now. It's gone from, you know, kind of a couple of million people 10 years ago to, you know, now probably nearly 10 million people that actually genuinely do care about the crisis is upon our door. And then there's the others that don't. So we are seeing a growing movement. But what is the collective impact that people can have? You're a campaigner, it's your role to engage people. I know that you obviously work directly with government, that's part of Sea Shepherd's role. You're responsible on the seas, so you're actually actively involved. But why do people behind you, apart from writing the MP, what's the impact of this collective movement?
Well, let me be blunt,
Yeah.
right? I'm blunt. The MPs who have signed on are you, of course, great people, and they care about conservation and the marine environment. But the truth is, politicians care about what their voters care about. So
The next
the
election.
yeah, and the more attention this issue gets, the more we can get politicians to recognize that it needs to be on the agenda. And you know, when it comes to people saying it's really hard, it can't be done, and you know, I'm an activist. I believe that we can get stuff done. My favorite quote, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember it precisely, but people who say that it can't be done shouldn't get in the way of people who are doing it.
Yeah,
And if you're
nice.
sitting at home and you're wondering whether or not your time or energy is worth it, it's worth it. I mean, everyone at home could be the decisive email or vote for getting that ball rolling down the mountainside. And that's just the truth of it. Every year, I recruit dozens of volunteers that come to the Faroe Islands to document this horror because we need the truth and the facts to be able to argue this for policymakers. And none of those people, almost as invisible as they may be as individual, they serve such an important purpose as a collective, right? Every single person that decides to give their voice or give their time to this cause makes my life and my job easier. And we'll get there. We just need to continue with this progress. And I will say again, the UK energy around this is amazing. I mean, I did read that the statistics on these EDM was 1 to 5 signatures, and that's what you can expect. The fact that we're 62 really shows that this matters to people, but it also matters to policymakers.
Yeah, it's really, really, really caught people's imagination, including our politicians, which is fantastic. So well done to everybody out there that actually has championed and challenged. Just so you know, you can email your MP. You don't have to literally write a letter. It can be done by email, but you do send a letter. Every email you send to your MP, they have to respond to you. So make sure you send them an email. We're going to very quickly go to the next commercial break. We'll be back with you, Valentina, in a while. I'm going to ask you some rather personal questions, things like, yeah, one word to describe the ocean today, the biggest lie we've been told about marine life, you know, those types of things, quick fire questions. So, and we'll also get your second song in. So don't go away. We're going to find out a little bit more about Valentina and the work that she's doing in the world. We'll see you back here very, very soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Valentina, so you've had a couple of minutes just to think about one of those prompts I asked you. Just give me.
Producers and organizations. This content is intended for general informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the guidance of a qualified healthcare professional with any questions you may have regarding your health or medical condition. Never disregard, delay, or alter professional medical advice based on information obtained through UK Health Radio. While we aim to share accurate and up-to-date information, UK Health Radio does not endorse or guarantee the completeness, accuracy, or reliability of any content, products, or services mentioned. Reliance on any information provided by UK Health Radio is at your own discretion and risk.
Responses to some of these questions. So, one word that would describe the ocean for you.
I love those questions. I've never had those questions before.
Oh, good.
I love interviews where I have to think. Well, I have tons of words that describe the ocean, but the first one that came to mind that I feel the most, that rings most true, is home.
It's home. Love it.
We live on a blue planet. It's a blue dot in the universe. Without the ocean, there is no home. It doesn't matter if you live in a country that doesn't have an ocean side, or, you know, where you don't get to see the ocean every day. The ocean is your home too. And that rings true to me.
I love that. I love it. That's a very brilliant answer. So, okay. So the biggest lie we've been told about marine life.
Well, oh my God, there's so many lies, right? Maybe the worst one is that they're not sentient. I believe that there's this misconception that anything that happens below the surface is almost so foreign that we can't imagine that there's sentience, that there's intelligence, that there's feelings, that there's life, like literally life, complex life. The ocean, we know more about the moon than we know about the ocean. But the most important lie that we're told about marine life and the ocean is that you can't impact it or help it. And you can. Everyone can. Doesn't matter where you're located, what your resources are, you can contribute to protecting our home. Whether it be, please don't have it on your plate, consider how the resources are used and how you benefit from those resources that are taken out of the ocean, and decide to be empathetic and caring, and just don't overuse anything. If you don't have to, you shouldn't.
I love it. I love it. I love it. This is great. I mean, such important, heartfelt, beautiful messages that are coming from you, Valentina. I want to get your second song in. I'm going to give you a couple of questions after this as well. So I'll give you them now so you can have a think about them.
Okay.
One thing humanity needs to stop doing immediately in relation to the campaign. And secondly, one thing that every listener can start doing today. So have a think about that. What do people need to stop doing, and what do people need to start doing? And in the meantime, while you mull over those, we're going to play your second song. Tell us what song you've chosen and why.
Oh, Follow the Sun from Xavier Rudd. And I thought, following Muse, let's find something that maybe characterizes my soft personality as well. So Xavier Rudd is my favorite musician, and he is the soundtrack of my activist life for sure. So I thought I wanted to end the program with a call to action to follow the sun.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. Well, here it is. Enjoy it as much as we will, everybody. Follow the Sun by Xavier Rudd.
Oh, for sure, we need to stop believing that we are the center of the universe and that we are the most important entity on our planet. We're not. We are part of a much bigger recipe, and those other species that we share this planet with, they're essential to our own survival. So we need to stop being blind to other species. Maybe I should follow up with what we need to be more of. We need to be kind. We need to be much, much kinder, of course, to ourselves and to others, but especially to our planet and the species that we share this world.
Yeah, beautiful. So just to remind everybody, and Valentina, thank you so much. You've been a delight to have on. Just to remind everybody, and particularly if you've only just tuned in, this will be available on demand for you to listen back to. But this has been about dolphins and dolphin hunting in the Faroe Islands, where thousands of cetaceans, dolphins, whales are slaughtered just because of a tradition. It's you know, catastrophic to hear this news that this is still happening in this you know, this life that we live today, but it is. So if you want to get behind protecting these animals, you can go to Sea Shepherd and get some more information, and also write a letter to your MP, and you know, a heartfelt letter, get them to get involved. There's 62 MPs involved already, which is kind of unheard of with these kinds of campaigns. So I think that's a testimony to you, Valentina, that you have managed to engage so many people in this campaign. Well done.
Thank you.
What's next for Sea Shepherd? I mean, obviously, if this one's all resolved, what do you move on to? Is it, 'cause presumably it's just an ongoing movement, right?
Yeah, it is. I've just recruited this year's volunteers who will be going to the Faroe Islands in May, and we will be there on the spot making sure that every grin is documented so we can make sure that their death doesn't go unnoticed. And we will be there from May to October, and we will be sure to make sure that the global community has a way of continuing to be involved, whether it be in the UK or everywhere else.
Absolutely brilliant. And just to let everybody know, there is a Stop the Grind. Is it Stop the Grind, which is the social media that people can get behind? Is that right?
Stop the Grind, yes. And I think there's
Stop the Grind, sorry.
Yeah, Stop the Grind too, though.
Yeah, Stop the Grind.
And a different social medias. But if you just follow Sea Shepherd, we will make sure that you end up where you need to go if you want to write your MPs.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us. We very, very much appreciate it. I'd love to have you on the show again, maybe after this trip that you've got lined up. So thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Jarvis. It was a pleasure, and I would love to come back.
Great, we'd love to have you. So thank you, everybody that's listening out there. I mean, this conversation isn't just about dolphins. It's about consciousness. It's about whether we evolve or look away. If something in you has stirred today, and it certainly has me, don't just move past it. You know, share this information, talk about it, and definitely act on it. Because the ocean doesn't have a voice. Well, it does, but not in our language. So it needs ours. So that's the end of the show today. And as always, you've been listening to Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. We're going to end the show with my rendition of Save the World, which I did in partnership with Greta Thunberg to raise money for the most affected people and areas as part of the Fridays for Futures campaign. I know Greta's off doing lots of other activism work now, but there is still this huge movement of young people around the world. And this song raises money to help support them in anything that they need. 100% of the royalties are donated to that movement. So please play Save the World by Jarvis Smith featuring Rita Moore. And let's not forget, let's try and put the eco back into economics and the heart back into how we live. Thank you very much. I'm Jarvis Smith. Thanks, Valentina. We'll see you all next week.